Hi, this is Steve, and glad you're taking a listen to this audio. And I was contacted by my good friend Brian a couple days ago, and he said, hey, what if we dive into Philippians 4, 8, and 9? And that sounded like a great plan. So Brian invited me over, and here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are. That's awesome. So we want to get right into it. You know, appreciate you joining us. So when you invited me to join you on this journey, Brian, I remember thinking that I wanted to read Philippians up to chapter 4 a little bit to get a little bit of
awesome
a context.
Yeah.
And of course there's a ton in there. What kind of prompted you to go down this path on Philippians 4, 8, and 9?
Oh, that is a really good and fair question. Well, of course, you know my toolbox, and I'm always, I've got a several pages of scriptures that I'm always looking towards, and I've recorded it audibly, and I listen to it, you know, daily, and I try to read through it daily, and I'm always just immersed in it.
Yeah.
And so Philippians 4, 8 through 9 is one of the passages, and I just got stuck on it. A while back, and I just felt like the Lord wasn't letting me get away from it. And there was just, like there is in a lot of passages in scriptures, there's just so much depth in it. And I just, the more I started looking at it, I'm like, wow, you know, this is really written to an audience with the intent of holding us to this whole different standard of living, you know.
Yeah.
What our habits are, what our patterns are, what are we to be thinking on, what are we to be focusing on, what is the source of our entertainment, what, you know, how are we spending our lives moment by moment, how are we supposed to pattern that, build that, what is that supposed to really look like?
Yeah.
And I just, the more I started looking at it and running through it and diving into it, like, this is, again, like many things, this is transformative.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
This, you know, if you really take this to heart, this will change how you, this will challenge you.
Yes, absolutely.
How will tomorrow, you know, if I really get into this and figure out, what does this look like? How's it going to change my tomorrow?
Right.
And my right now, my today, the next hour.
Right.
You know, yeah. When I get home from work and typically flip on the TV, what do I do instead? You know,
right.
What's really, how's this going to change things?
Sure.
So, yeah.
Because we know each other so well, I know the depths of what God has done in you and what he's done in me over time to build our understanding of a kingdom set of your heart and of your mind. And a big part of that came through these passages to me was, once again, a very familiar idea. There's God's part in things and there's our part in things.
Yes.
And I find that many times Jesus followers, as we're earlier in our growth, we find ourselves wanting God to do things that he says are our responsibility.
Mm.
And I can want God to do my work all day long,
right,
and it doesn't happen.
Right.
And that's not God being mean or unfair. That's me not understanding how this works.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
So,
right.
Yet another reason to renew our minds, right?
Yes. Yeah.
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 And of course, it's very tempting to just want to plow through all of Philippians because there's so much there, but
yes,
we promise not to do that, not now,
right,
maybe another day.
Right.
But I do know that, you know, Paul talks about how people conducted themselves in chapter 1 and how God in chapter 1, verse 6, is going to carry on the work to completion. So
yes,
God is not the problem. God is absolutely working to complete the work in us. And then everything else is about, now here's your part,
right,
Steve. Here's your part, Brian.
Yes.
Here's your part, Joe, Mary, Sue, you know, Harvey, whoever.
Yes.
God's actively doing his part.
Right. Right.
And chapter 3, verse 1, you know, repeating things is a safeguard for you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not new things. He's telling us that it's important to think and believe and do what he gives us to think, believe, and do. That's how we grow.
Right, right.
And so the lead up to these passages is so profound. He talks about how we stand firm in, you know, chapter 4, verse 1. He's referring back to the stuff that came before that.
Right.
I love chapter 4, verse 4. You make the choice to rejoice.
Oh.
And that can sound campy, but rhyme helps us sometimes. Yes. You know, just like motions do.
Yes.
Like hand thing and everything.
Right.
You know,
right,
you make a choice to rejoice. I don't feel like rejoicing. That's not what it says. You choose to rejoice.
You do.
You find your joy in
it. Just like we talked about before we started this recording.
Yeah.
That, you know, I often will sit back and just remember all of the times that I haven't really consulted him, or you know, I've made some choices or decisions, you know, just about whatever normal things in life, you know, but I didn't really, you know, I really just haven't been in his presence like I should have been, or whatever, and how what that produced and how that made me feel, and you know, that separation kind of feeling, and you know, but it helps, you know as I'm walking close with him, and there's that abiding. You know, I remember, I know what it's like to not walk with him. And then as I begin to shift my thinking, it's like, wow, you know, walking with him now, what a change, and how transformative and how just awesome, you know, it is. And then that excitement, that joy begins to just bubble up, which produces a rejoicing, you know, and then you just keep stirring that up and just remembering, you are valuable, and you are my treasure and my life, and you're my breath. You really are. And you know, and so I rejoice in you. You know, I love you. I appreciate you. I value, you know, our relationship and all of these moments that we spend together, which just encourages me to just spend every moment that I
with him. For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
So, so much richness in here. And of course, verses 6 and 7, don't worry about anything, but pray, you know, ask God.
Right.
And make your requests known to him, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So doing all of these things, I mean, you talk about a toolbox.
Yeah.
And I'll say that, you know, Brian's toolbox is online, and it is worth looking at for sure.
At
kingdom2connect.com.
Yeah, right? The number two. Yeah.
The number two, kingdom2connect.com. Check out the toolbox. It's really, really worth worth looking at. It's really useful. So, I mean, you could chew all day on don't have anxiety, don't worry about anything. Here's the answer for that. So, on the heels of all these things, reminding these Philippians, and he says it's like I said before, chapter 3, verse 1, in my paraphrase, it's not irksome to write these same things to you again.
Right.
Makes me wonder if Paul hadn't written the same things previously.
Uh-huh.
You know? I mean, and not only said them, but
sure
wrote them.
It sounds like it.
It's over and over. It's like Peter who said, hey, I know you know this, but before I leave the tent of this body, I want to make sure that when I'm gone, you don't ever forget this stuff.
Right. Let me drill this into you.
Drill it in. It is this pounding effect because, and it's that repetition that sounds boring to the flesh, but it is music in the spirit because this is how we're transformed. It is gradual, and it is like the pounding on the metal, you know?
Yeah.
It's like the shaping of the wood. It's like sandpaper or a plane.
Yeah.
It's these repeated things that really shape who we are. It starts with a fire a lot of times, so you have an experience with God or whatever. But where we're about to head into is these verses you pointed us to, Brian. This is how we stay the course. We stay aligned with him and then go deeper.
Right.
And go further in him.
Right.
We align, we go deeper, we go further.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to do, right? We don't want to be drifters.
Yeah. And I love that music in the spirit deal.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
It is.
Because being a musical person, you know, I see the notes, you know, going up and down and, you know, on the bars and everything. And,
and
it's just amazing to think about the flow, you know, of that. And as music crescendos and comes down, and I mean, there's such a beautiful flow to that.
Yeah.
You think of a symphony and a director, and
that's
just really cool.
Yeah, it is how it's how we do it. So
yeah.
So that said,
And just quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
In verse 5, you know, simply the Lord is near.
Yeah.
I mean, he's right here with us.
Yeah.
So I think we tend to, it's easy to often think that, well, God is way out there or the big man in the sky or that kind of stuff. You know, we introduce that separation, which just breaks his heart.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm right here.
Yeah, all the time.
All the time. Yeah. And what are you doing?
Right, exactly. What are you doing? Why?
Yeah, you are my inheritance. I want to walk with you every moment of every day.
Yeah.
You know, I want us to be able to have this life of rejoicing and this richness and this intimacy. Yeah. You know, I'm not the big man in the sky.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm your friend. I'm your savior. I'm master. I'm king. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're created to fit.
Yeah.
You know, we're created to fit together. We're to be yoked together.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, just awesome. Such wonderful imagery. I mean, he is near. So just the fact that he is near should be producing this whole life of what we're about to get into.
Yeah. I mean, no, awesome. That sounds great. Well, so with all of that extensive, you know, building toward these verses.
Right.
So here we are.
Here we are.
Yeah. Verse 8. So
shall we read it?
Yeah. Why don't you go ahead? Yeah.
Okay.
What version do you have there?
I've got the NASB.
Okay.
It says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you.
Amen.
Amen.
So what we think and what we do, you know, the takeaway on the one hand is pretty simple and straightforward. But as we were talking about just a few minutes ago before we started recording, it's one thing to be able to check the right box on a test and say, okay, I understand this. Mm. That's very different than putting it to practice.
Right.
And there's nothing like getting practical with the Word of God and with the Spirit of God and actually saying, what does this look like?
Yes.
You know, what does this look like? How do we live this out?
That's the drumbeat of our lives.
It absolutely is. Lord, we know that these words on paper are more than words on paper.
Right.
So we want to breathe this reality, what this looks like. So why don't we just dive on into these words then?
Yeah. I'll start with whatever is true. So what really got me on this is really what, I like to use Bible Hub, you know, I've got an interlinear Bible, big, thick, you know, million pages, you know, but I really like Bible Hub because it has an interlinear portion where you can just click and, you know, bring up
the origins of all you want.
Yeah, it's really, really neat. So the physical books have their place, and then digital, of course, has its place as well. But as I was looking through just the different resources, it kind of drills down into the idea of what is unconcealed, what can't be hidden, an undeniable reality, or what is authentic. You know, so you start, you know, kind of putting it back to a practical place is, you know, what are we doing that is concealed, you know, in our lives? It, you know, if you're, whether you're scrolling or how you're spending your time, or you can really take this to uncomfortable places, you know, what are we hiding and comfort eating, or, you know, what are we concealing? Because just all of those, and this stuff really challenges me, because as I've sat and thought about this, you know, what are the little things that I do that are kind of concealing behavior? No, it's just little, could be just little things, or it could be more serious things.
Right.
But it's like, what is all this stuff that I'm doing in my life that falls under this category of concealed?
Yeah, not quite true. Because like you said, buried in or contained within that idea is, it's not only, you know, propositionally, factually accurate, it's true, it's unmixed, it's true all the way through.
Yeah, down to the core.
Yeah, this is 100%, you know, inspected and approved by God, and it is true.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a tall order. And when you do that, it makes your mental space a lot more simple,
uh-huh,
and wholesome,
uh-huh,
and strong.
Yes.
Because when we start messing with the truth, jacking with the truth,
right,
because it doesn't quite fit the slot I have for it,
right,
we're trying to become masters of the truth.
Right.
We're actually deceiving ourselves.
Yeah.
And the word talks about people who are self-deceived.
Yes.
I hate the idea of being deceived. I hate even worse the idea that I would deceive myself.
Right.
So he's telling us to, I mean, it's an order. It's an order. This is what we're supposed to think about. Think about what is true. Boy, that filters out a lot, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
Just that first word.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, huge. You could stop there. I was going to say, you could stop there and
be in pretty good shape.
Oh, yeah.
But he gives us even more.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he really does.
Yeah. You get into what is honorable, or yeah, some words are venerable.
Uh-huh. Noble.
Or noble.
Yep.
And I thought that was kind of funny, and I may be dating us a little bit here, but you remember,
that's all right,
you remember Bush and Cheney,
uh-huh,
right. Remember all of the media talk back then was like, well, Cheney brings gravitas,
uh-huh,
to the ticket,
right? That's right.
And that's what this word is, mm-hmm, is gravitas.
Yeah.
Deeply respected, serious, dignified, majestic,
right?
I mean,
yeah,
you know, you think about, and again, I one trick for me again is always going back to, well, what is the antithesis of that? What is the,
right,
opposite of that?
Right.
You know, so it helps you kind of look at, well, is most of what is pouring on out of my life, is most of what I'm focused on and thinking about, is it serious and dignified? It doesn't mean you have to walk around stoic all the time,
right,
or you can't have lighthearted moments.
Right.
But at the core of who you are, what is kind of stirring in you,
mm-hmm,
most of the time? Is it,
yeah,
you know, do you have much gravitas going on?
Right.
You know, are,
right,
you kind of living surface level?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we all know people that, okay, when it really counts, this is the serious, dignified, purposeful person who's going to really help me get through there. Yeah. Some people, honestly, are fun at parties or,
uh-huh,
football games.
Right.
But as far as getting a lot of something really serious, heavy lifting done.
Right.
Not the person.
Yep.
And that's just true.
It is.
Back to starting with truth.
Right.
We're all different. I can be a real goofball sometimes.
Yeah.
But I can be absolutely locked and loaded and deadly serious,
yep,
on an issue when it's time to be that way. You,
yeah,
can too.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, the class clown is not who you want to be your attorney.
Right. Yep.
Let's just call
Spot
it what
on.
It is.
Yep.
Right? Okay. Right. So.
And not that that's okay. I think it's important because my natural bent, of course, is to be more serious,
mm-hmm,
you know, so I have to remember, hey, lighten up
sometimes.
Yeah, enjoy life and stuff. And then you have people, fair enough, that are more on the natural bent of being lighthearted and,
right,
goofballs and things. And I think they should
fine.
All, yeah,
sure.
And they should be challenged.
Sure. Exactly. And so, I mean, yeah, you can be honorable and still laugh.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
But it's, I think, yeah, it just, you know, whatever's true, whatever is honorable or noble, it's a good thing. Pretty much everybody says, okay, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So think about that kind of stuff. It's,
yeah,
true. It's honorable.
Right.
Speaking
it's right.
of right, it's right. That's the third one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's right. It conforms to God's standard. I think you led to,
mm-hmm,
that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is in line with what, with his character.
Yeah.
With what he wants and what he wants us focusing on. It's,
yeah,
just right.
It's right.
Yeah.
You know, I think sometimes about the biblical idea of work, and work is not a bad thing. When Jesus followers,
yeah,
are in the workplace, and instead of doing the job, they want to preach,
yeah,
or they want to goof off or whatever, then the people who aren't Jesus followers don't respect that.
Right.
That's not honorable. That's not right.
Right.
Even
exactly.
I know that.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be working right now.
Yeah.
And you're not.
Right.
Even hiding out in the bathroom and reading your Bible.
Yeah.
When it's time to work.
Yeah.
And that's not right.
Yeah. You may look at that as, well, I'm doing good things.
Yeah.
Well.
But it's not right.
In context of
not in the moment.
Yeah, right.
So think about what is true. Yep. Think about what is honorable. Mm-hmm. That's already a strong list. What is right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Whoo! Now we're diving into that four-letter word.
Say it.
Pure.
All right. Whatever is pure.
Now, okay, this is interesting. This literally means to the core.
To the core.
Yeah. Uncontaminated, mm-hmm. which we touched on that. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, we got to hold on to our horses here. Not mixed with guilt or anything condemnable.
Mm-hmm. To the core, 100% approved by God.
Yeah.
There is nothing for me to hide.
No, and it's not mixed with guilt. Think about in times past or whatever, mm-hmm. or even current, any little things that we do that introduces that feeling of, a little bit of shame, a little bit of guilt, or, mm-hmm.
Maybe shouldn't be thinking about this.
Yeah.
Maybe shouldn't be doing this.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, but being cognizant of it, the word says, hold every thought captive. Mm-hmm. You know, as soon as that something that you know is going to produce guilt or shame, or you do it and it begins to produce guilt and shame, hey, remember, we mm-hmm. are to be living a lifestyle of repentance, constantly turning away from that stuff and turning towards
yes.
Him.
Yes.
All the time.
Absolutely. The lifestyle of repentance is key, because the old saying is really valuable. You can't stop the birds from flying overhead, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair.
Okay. Yes.
So that's temptations beautiful. Will come. Jesus was tempted in every way.
Yes.
Yet without sin.
Yeah.
So the temptation is not the sin.
Right.
So this picture, that thought, this audible thing, mm-hmm. If I fudge the numbers a little bit, the report's going to look better. Just any number of things like that.
Right.
To the point of somebody asking you for your opinion and you don't really give them your opinion because you want to hurt their feelings, you know?
Right.
So how do you like the food? And you really think you want to throw it away and get a hamburger, but you don't say that, you know?
Yeah.
So how to navigate those things. If we are people that want purity at the core, we want to think about what is pure, then that whittles down the number of things we can think about.
Right.
We don't want to get into the shadows. We not only don't want to run into the middle of the dark swamp in the middle of the night,
right.
We don't even want to get in the shadows.
Right.
So it's intentionally restricting.
Yes.
Willfully restricting what we think on. That means when those darker things come our way,
right,
they're inviting us to go there,
right,
we say no.
Exactly.
And that will continue till our last breath.
Yeah. 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 Really, I love that, restricting, because, you know, especially in this day and age where, I mean, we have information overload, data overload.
Yeah.
I mean, there's everything out there, and it's easy to open ourselves up to, you know, just basically
whatever.
Just, yeah, vacuuming in all of this.
and just whatever's there, you just take it in, which is a bad plan in 2021. It's always been a bad plan.
Right.
But there's so much, yeah.
So much. So, yeah, it really is kind of get narrow a little bit, you know, get dialed in, really begin to think about, again, what is true, what is honorable, what is right, what is pure, and then kind of set up that filter by God's grace and being led by the Spirit. And, you know, as you get out there in the messy world mm-hmm. and all of the stuff is just out there available for us to take in,
right,
and then feed it, begin to establish this filter so that that stuff, you know, goes through the filter, and then is a lot of it is jettisoned
right
off to the right and to the left.
Yeah.
And then the stuff that falls in line with what we're talking about goes in.
Yeah.
You know, and goes into our inner man. And the more that we begin to do that and practice that out, mm-hmm. you know, the more that it transforms us.
Yeah.
It renews our minds. It's Romans 12:1-2.
Yeah.
You know, it's
sure.
It's all of that.
And this is all very purposeful, of course. We're very purposeful, deliberate people. Doesn't mean we're boring,
yeah.
But we've got a mission. We got a purpose. We're here to abide in the Lord and the Lord abide in us.
Oh, man.
Ultimately.
Yes.
And everything else comes from that. So
yes. This
is part of purposeful living. My gosh, if we want our lives to go somewhere, uh-huh. if we want our lives to be wholesome and on target with Jesus, and if we want to to count when there's a judgment by fire. You want gold, silver, precious stones. You don't want to see it all burn up like wood, hay, and stubble.
Right.
This is how you do it.
This is
how you do it. It's in the nitty-gritty of moment-by-moment living.
It is, yeah. The mundane, which we've often talked about.
Oh, yeah.
Most of life is in the mundane.
It is.
Just the day-to-day.
Yeah, that Monday looks a lot like Tuesday, looks a lot like Wednesday, and all that. And instead of that being boring, it's the arena, it's the proving ground, it's the testing ground.
It's
where we grow and learn and mature.
Right.
This is our gymnasium.
Yes.
So let's embrace it.
Yeah, I love that idea or that imagery of the arena.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this is our arena. It's kind of like we're gladiators and we're you know, we're out here doing our thing.
Yeah.
But it's within, you know, your accountants or medical billing or
whatever,
marketing and just whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's like what are you doing with every moment of every day? What are you doing with your thoughts? What are you doing with your time? You know, what is your entertainment? All of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like you've often said, Steve, if it's boring, you're doing it wrong.
You're doing it wrong.
It should never be boring.
Absolutely.
The tools are there
to
wake us up and to recognize that, I'm bored, so something's
is not
wrong. Clicking right.
Yeah.
We're an 8-cylinder running on 6 or something's wrong.
For sure. So pure, wow,
that's a big one.
That's a big one.
Then you get into lovely.
Okay.
Worth the effort to have, and it also means to embrace.
Okay.
So, you know, looking at things, it's like, you know, is what I'm doing, is this worth it? Is this really worth my time and my effort, basically?
Yeah, is it lovely? Is it excellent?
Yeah.
Is it, there's a bunch of things I could think about. Is this on the list of things that I really want? I think it goes back to understanding how God views our lives and how he says he wants us to live. And are we aligning with that? Or are we choosing something else? Because something else will be less.
It will be less.
Something else, something other than what God wants for us will be lesser. It won't be lovely. It'll be eh.
Yeah.
Well, Or a tragedy, possibly.
Maybe this isn't the best imagery, right? And I'm not knocking side hugs or any of that kind of stuff. But imagine the difference between, you know, a side hug, which has some you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay.
Glad to see you.
As opposed to a bear hug type of embrace where you just kind of sit and linger with that person for a moment.
Right.
Like, you know, your arms are around them. I love you.
I just
cherish what we have together.
Yeah.
That kind of lingering embrace. I think that's what I think of when I think of lovely. You know,
something
it's like,
you really
is this
want.
Something that I'm, that sure. I want to kind of embrace and bear hug and linger in for a moment?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I mean, like you know, COVID-19 has been a thing lately, and if someone's listened to this 20 years from now, somehow, they might not even know what that was.
Right.
But,
COVID what?
Yeah, huh? Yeah, look forward to that being a distant memory. But anyway, I've shaken hands with a lot of people in business. I've done business with people that I would not want to hang out with.
Right.
But when it comes to my wife, I'll sit on the couch for hours.
Yes.
Just to be there.
Right.
You know, she's lovely to me.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be around her.
That's awesome.
Lovely or excellent. That's what he wants us to think about.
Right.
What's after that?
We got good report or reputation, admirable and
praiseworthy.
Kind of gets down to goodwill to others and well spoken of.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, just that overall. Yeah, this is beneficial. This is good. This is,
We don't toy in our minds with things that could be or will be detrimental or condemnable for us or for other people. We're not talking about doing things that are going to hurt anybody,
right?
Us or other people. It's good. It's like it's almost like as we read through this list, a whole lot of people, even people who aren't Jesus followers, would. If they could look at our thoughts, would say, yeah, that's all good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's not like all self-centered and...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So given this profound list, he says, let your mind dwell on these things, or think about these things. Keep on.
Yes.
I'm looking at several different versions here. Keep on thinking about these things.
Yes, exactly.
This is a habit of mind.
Yeah.
It's a lifestyle of repentance in your thoughts.
Yes.
Just always coming, you know, the hand thing, aligning,
yep.
aligning, just always aligning.
Right.
And the more we eat the fruit of this, the more we understand this is not drudgery.
No.
This is how growth happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's if you're really engaged in it, it's something to look forward to.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like, the Lord is about the process of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I get to get up, be yoked with Him, and be engaged in this. I'm going to make progress today.
Yeah.
I'm going to move further on in spiritual maturity. I'm
going
to go further down the road, further up the mountain. It's,
you
know, no matter what mm-hmm. comes at me today, no matter what troubles, no matter what triggers, no matter what, I'm going to be with Him.
That's huge. That's huge. And that's that mindset is the difference in seeing this and so many other things in the Bible as some sort of drudgery, some sort of rocks I got to put in my backpack and haul up the hill because it's my religious burden. And
it's exhausting.
I mean, that is not biblical Christianity at all. It's saying, hey, you know, the Lord's saying, I do my part. Like we saw in chapter 1, verse 6, just alluded to that. You know, he's committed to the process completely.
Yes.
That's not a question.
He's not going
mark.
Anywhere. No.
What he's saying is, okay, Steve, Brian, everybody else, you've got your part.
Yep.
And instead of, here's your burden. I mean, it's not like that. It's like, hey, here are the tools. Here are the weapons. Here is the way to do it.
Yes.
Now, you can do nothing and just let the weeds take over if you want.
Right.
And that's tragic.
Yeah.
That's tragic for you and the people around you. It's not a good example to your kids and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Or you can say, hey, I'm going to learn how to use these.
Yes.
I'm going to start with this one. I'm going to learn. I'm going to,
right.
you know, we're going to learn how to think on these things.
Right. Start with the little things and just be responsible and fruitful with those little things.
Mm-hmm.
I think about like maybe a military analogy or something, you know, how a lot of military guys just get up and make your bed.
Yes.
And just start there.
Start there.
You know?
Absolutely. That's huge. How you start the day as a footnote, boy, that's a big deal.
And of course, I can't go on without just talking about how, you know, as you've done for a while and I've started doing recently, first thing you open your eyes, you shoot your arms up, Lord.
That's
yes,
right.
Yes. Yes to you.
Saying yes
I'm
to you.
I'm here for you. I'm lined up with you. Yeah. Just, how you start your day. So just be mindful and be responsible with the little things first. And then and it is a relationship, lest we forget.
Right.
You know, with the Lord is, you know, Lord, I love you. I value you. I want to build trust with you, you know, in relationship with you, because I want to go further and deeper.
Yeah.
You know, eternity is right now,
you
know, while I'm in the flesh.
Absolutely.
It's right now. So I want to get on with it and, you know, I just want to keep stepping forward. But he says, whatever is excellent in the next thing, you know, if there's anything of excellence, which is, I just want to point this out. We're back to the purity thing again. So this is purity in thought, purity in what we feel, and purity in how we act. So thought, feeling, and action. That encompasses a lot of what many of us, you know, get challenged with every day.
Sure.
You know, which is why we have to hold every thought captive. And we have to be very, very careful about our feelings.
Yeah.
You know, and then you get into triggers and circumstances and situations and the messiness of life with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that is going to produce thoughts and feelings and action.
Right.
So you have to start getting engaged. And as once somebody told me before, you know, well, Ryan, you're going to have to put on your big britches.
Right. Decide we're going to have to adult our way through this.
We're going to have to adult.
Well, because the easiest thing, I mean, I think understanding spiritual growth is greatly enhanced by having children.
And
that could be a whole other thing. But the fact is, we all start out these little humans who went from this warm, you know, very closely held environment.
Yeah.
And in a matter of hours, we got squeezed a bunch and we our limbs started flailing around, and it's bright and it's cold, and
right,
people are poking and prodding, and that's why they scream. You know, it's like, hey, what is this?
Right.
Because we feel and we respond. And yeah, when an infant is hungry, you would think somebody had just poked them with a sharp stick. I right. mean, it's just the end of the world. They're just screaming because they hate it.
Right.
Well, the rest of our lives, we have to learn how to govern those things.
Yeah.
Because we feel what we feel, but to just always act on that is unwise.
Right.
And there's a million examples we could give of that I don't think we need to. I mean, we all know that. So how do we learn that? Well, it's in the so-called little things.
Yeah.
It's when you feel like, you know, I need to say something about this. You know, this is just really unacceptable. And you stop and say, you screen it in the spirit. You
yes.
know?
Yeah.
And like, no, I need to just leave this one alone. It's okay.
Right.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Or, okay, I do need to say something here.
Right.
But it's learning to be deliberate.
Yes.
Very deliberate. Because life, I think it comes down to this briefly. Life is not primarily about me announcing how I feel about everything.
Ah, there you go.
It really isn't. Now, I need to be honest with how I feel about things between me and the Lord.
Right.
But life is so much more. Life is about what He wants.
Yes.
Not about what I want, ultimately.
Yeah.
Because I'm submitted to Him. He's on the throne of my life, not me.
Mm-hmm.
And is it a challenge? Of course it is. And I think that's something worth encouraging people in. Everybody who's endeavoring to follow Jesus has days, moments where they feel something and they're tempted to just give in to it.
Right.
Even though it doesn't fit this list we've been going through, it's going to cause a mess.
Yep.
But it's like there's a Skillet song, there's a line that says, sometimes I don't want to feel better. You know, sometimes right. I'm just mad.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just going to let it rip.
Yep.
Every time I've done that, I regret it.
Uh-huh.
Every single time.
Yes, yes. There's no good that comes out of that.
No good at all.
Ever.
And so do some people get tired of the battle? No, all people get tired of the battle.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
All of us do.
Yeah.
The question is, how far do you slip
right
when you're tired of the battle?
Right.
Do you crawl inside a bottle and go in the swamp for 13 years?
Right.
Or over time, through a lifestyle of repentance, those cycles get much shorter.
They do.
And it lasts, ultimately, it can last just seconds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or a half of a second.
Yeah.
Because you do the math and you go, this is not worth it.
It's like we've often said, you move from years to months to weeks to days to hours to minutes. Yeah.
That's exactly that sort of the progression. Exactly.
And you shouldn't, you know, speaking from experience, you shouldn't beat yourself up because there is a lot of falling down and, you know, it is easy to get discouraged.
Mm-hmm. Right.
As you're fighting to move further down the road in this. But you just have to keep getting back up. I love Rocky
That's
quotes
right.
because it said it's not how many times you get hit, it's how many times you get back up.
So true.
So yep. you've just got to. And another one, you know, it's one step at a time, one punch at a time, one round at a time.
Yeah.
And you've got to just break it down and be like, well, it's not an option to not get back up. I'm going to get back up. It's not an option to not go another round. I'm going another round.
Right.
And I'm going to improve and I'm going to make progress.
Mm-hmm.
And if I slip and fall, I'm going to get back up and dust myself off, figure out why I slipped and fell,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, work the tools and just keep moving
just
forward.
Keep moving.
It's
right.
not an easy process.
No.
So you don't just flip a switch and then all of this is just Skittles and unicorns and pretty
right.
rainbows.
Yeah.
I mean,
which
it's
is
hard.
Which is what we want.
Yeah.
All of us.
Yes.
But at some point you realize there is no switch. It isn't the Matrix. I can't take the red pill and
yep.
suddenly I'm just in reality.
Right.
Or maybe even better, yeah, I can't just flip a switch and suddenly I'm this spiritual superhero
yeah.
and I am immune to temptation.
Right.
We're never immune to temptation.
Never.
But we don't have to fall into sin.
Nope.
And what we're talking about here is how you live a lifestyle of repentance, how you line up, and how you stay lined up.
Yep, exactly.
So the thinking is huge. And then in verse 9, this gets into the doing. Big time. And I don't want to leave verse 8 too soon. If
no,
you've got
no.
something something there that, okay.
Well, right. I mean, I've got one more thing, but we can bounce back and forth.
No, go ahead. Go ahead while we're here.
The other one was, the last one before we get into nine was praise. Whatever is worthy of praise.
Oh, I jumped too fast. Sorry.
No, that's fine. It has the idea, there's a lot of meat here, but it has the idea of properly fitting. And I think this is really cool because it says an enthusiastic acknowledgement for what deserves praise. And his will and his desire is what deserves praise. So it's about, you know, when it means properly fitting, it fits into if what we're dwelling on and, you know, what we're deciding to think, to feel, and to take action on, does that fit into what he desires? Mm-hmm. You know, is it praiseworthy? You know, when you take what you think, feel, and act upon and kind of raise it to the Lord and go, Lord, is this, does this fit into who you are? Does this fit into your character?
Are you going to say, well done?
Yeah.
Because that's what praise is. Hey,
yes.
Good job.
Good
well
job.
Done.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, that the idea of like, what am I doing right now? What am I thinking and feeling? Or am I going to allow this situation to trigger me and this won't fit into what God really wants, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's not about, it's like, live by this perfect standard 100% of the time, but that's what we are to strive for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, don't, again, if you slip up and do something stupid, then just keep dwelling on this, keep coming back to this. And eventually your mind will be renewed more and more. The scripture talks about being transformed more and more into the glory of his image.
Yes, it is
progressive. So it is progressive.
100%.
So you just got to keep, I got to keep going back to that.
And me too. And that's where we live. And that's one thing about maturity in Christ is you've got a track record of having seen the progress. So anybody who's listening to this that's discouraged, whether you came to faith in Jesus last night or 50 years ago, the same thing is true. Just get up, put your pants on, point the right direction and move. Even if you have to just fall forward.
I love that.
Just move and keep doing that
because
progress is motivating.
It is, yeah.
And the more you have your own internal records to pull up and say, I have made progress.
Yeah.
Then that encourages you that I can make more progress.
Right.
And don't let perfection be the enemy of growth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's it. You summed it up perfectly.
Don't
That's exactly what I was trying to get at.
Yeah.
Don't let perfection be the enemy of growth. That's really good.
I have to, and this is the stuff I swim in all day, every day, just like you. So, so
exactly.
Thank you. Yeah. I didn't mean to, I jumped verses too fast.
No. No, you're fine.
That's well worth staying there for.
But you were saying the things you have learned and received, right?
Right. Yeah. Verse 9. Yeah. The things you've learned and received and heard and seen in me. So things that you've learned, you've received it from me, you've heard it from me, you've seen it in me. Basically, that, you know, follow me as I follow Christ, he says elsewhere.
Yeah.
You know, what you've seen and heard in me,
right?
The way I live. Okay. We talked about how I think. This is how I live, what I do. What is my practice?
Right.
What is my practice? Now, this is not this weird slavish, cultish devotion where you're like a personality cult.
Yeah.
You know, where you hold your hands just like Paul and you change your inflection. And that's weird. I've been around that before. That's
too.
Weird. That's not what he's talking about.
Right.
Practice these things and the God of peace shall be with you.
Right.
But he's saying when you have somebody in your life who is more mature, they're a true elder in the body.
Mm-hmm.
They've been walking with Jesus. They've got the fruit in their life.
Right.
Pay attention to what they do.
Yeah.
How they got there.
Right.
And how they keep moving. I remember being when I was on a trip through Africa for 2.5 months, I had always been someone who liked to get up in the morning and spend time with God. But I noticed that this gentleman who was leading our little group was over 70 years old, and he started his day. I'll never forget this image. I think it was in Zaire, now known as the Congo. The way the room was set up, I opened my eyes one morning and I could see him on his bed, kneeling on his bed with a little gas lantern. reading his Bible by that lantern at O-Dark 30 in the morning. And this guy was a disciplined machine. I mean, he was one of the most disciplined people I've ever known.
Right, right.
And he was one of those people early on that said, yeah, how you start your day really matters.
It does.
And so, because you see the fruit in somebody's life, there's a session coming up here in the near future about that I look forward to doing on how people want the fruit but not the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get into the weeds on that one.
That's good.
You know, you got to love the tree. You got to love the process of getting to that fruit.
Right.
So, you know, I'm still going to do that teaching, and I hope people will tune in for that another time. You know, that's not the sum of it. There's a lot to unpack. But I love how he's talked about how you think, and now he's talking about how you do. Hey, you want to grow and mature in Christ. In other words, it isn't the Paul Club. Don't emulate me just to be me.
Yes.
Don't try to flatter me. Don't. I mean, that's weird.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Right.
But he's saying, you know, you like the Jesus you see in my life. You respect my walk with God.
Yep.
Well, if you want to attain this, if you want to go up the mountain, here's what I do to get there and stay there, to keep pressing on.
Right. Get there and stay there. Yes.
Yeah. Just exactly locked in. And
pushing.
Yeah. So basically, you want what I got, do what I do.
I have to stop you there and go back to this idea of receive.
Yeah.
So we learn, but then we have to receive it.
Yes.
And this word, the word he used here, it means to aggressively take.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And it says showing strong personal initiative.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you have to, you know, you mentioned earlier as we were visiting, you know, you've got to want this more than I do.
Right.
You know. Yes. And so that's what I think Paul is saying here. Or any time that we learn, you know, we've got to receive it in. We've got to look at it and go, oh, wow, that is huge. That is an amazing tool. I've got to work that into my life and begin to really implement that, to take this strong initiative towards this and really apply it.
Absolutely.
And begin to walk it out. And so it's not enough to just hear us or anybody or Paul, you know, just like, yeah, Paul's rattling off again, you know, live right and pure and okay.
Well, and you think about how if your Christianity is basically attending school,
yeah.
I mean, you can call it church, you can call it whatever, but you go and it's like school.
Oh boy.
Somebody's talking about things that you don't really understand. You're not sure how it applies to you. They seem pretty smart in it. And so they're talking and droning on and on and on about all kinds of stuff that you really can't, you don't have the hooks in your own experience to hang it on.
No.
And then we wonder why our spiritual growth is flagging and failing.
Right.
Because Jesus never said, Paul never said, just hear my words and that's enough. In fact, James says, if you're just a hearer, you're wrong.
Right.
You know, you need to be a doer.
Yeah, this is, we're not talking about sitting back in your lazy boy. We're talking about, this is, you know, if you're learning and you're going to receive this, you better be sitting on the edge of your seat. And you better be leaning forward. And you better be making eye contact.
Yeah.
And you better be taking it in.
That's right.
If
you want to move forward. Do you want to grow? Or are you just attending the seminar? Because like I said, things that you have learned. Okay, well, that can be just going to the seminar. And thank God for seminars, I guess, and whatever. But, you know, just because you heard it doesn't mean much is going to happen. But you're right. He says you received it.
Yeah.
You said, yes, thank you. I'm in. This is great.
Yes.
And that initial step of a journey is wonderful.
Uh-huh.
But if I take one step from this building toward my car.
Right.
I can spend the rest of the day outside my car.
Right.
The goal is to get in my car, not just to take the first step.
Oh, that's good.
There's a whole lot of starting and not much finishing
in
most of life.
Yeah, you've got to run your race.
Right.
To win.
Every step of it.
To win.
If you want to win, you
got
to cross the line.
Right.
No, that's awesome. I mean, you guys not only learned this, you didn't just hear me, you received it. You said, yes, I'm in.
Uh-huh.
This is great.
Yeah.
So starting is wonderful. Finishing is better.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
And winning.
Winning is the best.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure. And then you talked about practicing, you know? That's just, you know, making it routine and habit. And this is not just something that you, like you said, you walk out to your car, but you, you keep moving forward. You work this into your life, and it just kind of becomes
right
circular. You know, it's just like you're, it's moving. There's right. movement there.
It is.
Becomes habit.
You practice these things. It's not just a diploma, or like, for example, that, you know, physical fitness is always the easy place to go when we talk about growth. Mm-hmm. It's honestly not that big of a deal to show me your gym membership card or something on your phone that says, I have a gym membership.
Right.
Okay. Right. So you got a gym membership.
Right.
That's kind of like having a blender.
Yes.
You can buy a blender and never make a smoothie.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
Just because you have a gym membership, I mean, that's good.
Right.
Is it sufficient? No.
Right.
It's not. What right. are you doing with the gym?
Right.
Paul is here saying, and if you will, kind of roll with me on this.
Yeah,
I hope it goes somewhere helpful. You know, hey, that's great that you heard what I said. But you know, you said you were in, you agreed, you received it. You heard things from me. You saw things in me. You know, I'm the fitness trainer. Of mm-hmm. course, I've got 5% body fat. Of course, I've got a six pack.
Yeah.
Of course, my heart rate is X and my blood pressure is Y. And,
right.
you know, all these chemicals are lined up and everything. And I do intermittent fasting or I whatever,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
That's great. You're the one who said you wanted to get in shape.
Right.
So why haven't I seen you in the gym?
Right.
Why have you still not changed your dietary habits?
Uh-huh.
Why?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And
because you have not aggressively taken this. You've
right.
not, you've not received this. There's no desire
right.
there. You're missing
yeah.
that.
Practice these things. Why practice these things? Especially if it requires telling your flesh no and discipline.
Right.
Because the prize is worth it. Because the goal is worth it.
Right.
You know, a big heart attack will motivate people to eat broccoli.
Uh-huh.
It really will.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully, if they survive yeah. it. So,
right.
and you know, the Bible's very clear. This life is a vapor. It isn't forever. Life is to be invested, not just spent.
Yep, exactly.
And he's talking about how you know, and if anybody listening, I mean, if the roller coaster is way too familiar, the highs and lows in your life, I mean, you're on fire for God and it's great for a day or two or three or a couple of weeks. And then you just wake up 6 months later and you have slid back into just, you know, indolence, laziness, sloppy habits, or you're just, you know, you don't look much different than somebody who's not even following Jesus.
Right.
And you get tired of that.
Right.
We're talking about how you align with God and stay aligned with God.
Yes. Yes.
Go deeper, go further.
Yes.
Keep moving forward.
Right.
Like I was reading recently where Paul talks about, you know, forgetting those things that lie behind, I press on to what is ahead.
Yes.
And somebody said to me a long time ago, notice he said, forgetting the things behind, not
yeah.
just the bad things.
Right.
Even the good things.
Yes.
Yesterday's success is what? Yesterday's.
Right.
What about today?
Oh, you're getting into sales territory.
but seriously, this is the stuff of life in
it
Christ.
Is.
This
yeah.
is how
yeah.
we you know, we've got to be honest about what we feel, about what we're thinking, all of that kind of stuff. And we can take all that to the Lord
yeah.
and say, how do I deal with this? I'm just not feeling motivated today. Well, I tell you, to be blunt, the big stick in the closet for me when I'm struggling with motivation is, you know what? One day my heart's going to stop.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be over.
Right.
We
get one life.
Yeah,
yeah,
one shot.
Make it count.
And so make it count. This is not a bad thing. Those tombstones in Boston, Massachusetts, every one I saw that I remember had a skull on it. Mm. Sometimes with wings, sometimes with crossbones, sometimes just a skull. And in that time, that was just a very clear, stark reminder. This would be you one day.
Right.
This is coming.
Whew.
And that's not morbid. That's reality.
It is reality.
It's reality,
yeah, it's
man.
Coming. Yeah.
And so let's make that dash on our tombstone count.
Right. Because it's going to matter.
Birth and death. Oh, yeah.
yeah.
And
yeah.
it's all we've got.
Uh-huh. Right.
And the easy thing on the flesh is going to cost us.
Yes.
In the spirit.
It is.
It really will.
Yeah, for sure.
So
there was one last thing
yeah.
on here. It
yeah,
says,
go for
and
it.
The God of peace will be with you. And
amen.
Before, you know, as I've been kind of immersed in this passage for some time, and this hadn't stuck out to me until just very, very recently here. But I was looking at that, thinking about and. So it's like, okay, wait. is the God of peace with me? If I don't do these things, is the God of peace with me only if I do these things? And I thought it was interesting as I was kind of digging down and looking through, and I came across the word "and" being used in a different passage. It says, and it's just a conjunction. It means to join. Mm-hmm. There's a joining imagery to it. And it says, shall be with child and shall bring forth. So you think about that. So it's like what we're talking about here is, hey, become pregnant with these things. Mm-hmm. And the birth will be that God of peace will be with you. Mm-hmm. The God of peace will be with you. Mm-hmm. You know, there will be peace and well-being in your life. So I love that idea of just kind of, you know, carrying with child, and the obvious conclusion of that is giving birth, is pregnancy, you know, is a baby.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, this is, it's joined together.
Uh-huh.
It's not a separate kind of a thing. It is a bringing together of all the parts. We've listed a lot of parts here.
Right.
You know, but it's bringing all of these parts together. It's you know, eventually going into labor, you know, carrying this child, you know, all the cells come together, make a child.
Right.
You know, not to try to beat the point home, but I mean, it's all joined together as God expects us and wants us to do these things. This is what it's about.
Absolutely. It is.
And the fruit of that is, he is able to be, you know, with us. He's always with us. But earlier, you know, you're talking about when we keep doing the same dumb things over and over and over again, and that's our habit.
Right.
And we're not stopping ourselves from doing that habit, which is not producing good things. Then the Lord kind of steps away a little bit. He's still with us, but he's at a distance away going, you know what? I'm not going to sit here and hang around and watch you self-destruct.
You need to learn from this, and you're not learning from this. And and that's true, because, you know, Jesus said, you know, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So in a sense, I mean, God is omnipresent. I mean, he is everywhere.
Yes.
But his presence manifests differently.
Yes.
And the more we align with him,
right,
like in a focused time or prayer or something like that, his presence will manifest differently.
Right.
We'll sense his presence more.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And so I do believe it is that. The God of peace is with you all the time.
Right.
But the more you align yourself, it's like that valve that opens.
Exactly.
His manifest presence will be manifest more.
Much fuller. Yeah.
Much fuller. Yeah.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
So it's a question of degree.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And I wanna always be unsatisfied with the degree of his presence in my life.
Right.
In a good way.
In a good
Thankful
way.
For what I have, but yearning for what is more.
Oh, well said.
Yeah, that's what I'm always looking for.
That's perfect.
Well, Brian, I tell you, this has been rich.
Yes, sir.
And really glad that we got to come together and you know, do this purposefully and record some things. And
This is what we do all the time.
This is what we do all the time. We just thought we'd hit record. So so thanks to everybody that's listening, and you know,
thank you.
Be sure and subscribe for updates and contact wherever you're listening to this. Reach out, you know, via the website and say, hey, you know, I heard that. I'd like to hear more things like that or whatever. And, you know, we'll be in touch with you. And so, you know, Lord, thank you for what you've done in us today and what you're continuing to do in us. And Lord, we pray that these words will be used by you and anointed by you as people listen to stir a desire for you and to align with you and resolve that you will be our first love and their first love forever. That we just want to continue every day to really put you first.
Amen.
And so we thank you for that and for this time we got to share.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Good Amen.
Stuff. Amen.
All right. Until next time.
Until next time.
Bye-bye.